Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah, A-Dream, in the building, shout out to Bree.
What up, Bree?
And we finna go in, look,
yes, sir.
Look, we came to break down a few topics here. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. It's positive, uplifting and honest here. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn in the building. All the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging echoes, so if you ain't fragile, through the net connection, we streaming you to Mexico. So welcome to the life of Bree, breaking down relationships to the third degree.
This is the Bree life,
what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
From politics to the current events, economics to race, whether you're poor or you're rich.
This is the Bree life,
what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
Hey. Coming to you live and streaming to all four points of the globe. It's your girl, Brooklyn born and Crown Heights raised. Living life and breathing life. It's Bree, baby.
Well, welcome everyone. Welcome everyone. This is another installment of the Bree Life Radio Show. And, this is Mark said it today. It's a little different. My girl Bree has given me the opportunity to take the helm for the first part of the show because we have an unbelievable guest that I can't wait to interview today. I mean, he is quite controversial. And actually, I met him through Bree a couple years ago. He was on one of our shows, and we had an unbelievable discourse. But I really didn't connect him to that show. Recently, because what happened was I'm looking at my Facebook timeline and I'm seeing all kind of things being posted by this gentleman. Now, his name is Andrew Benjamin, and he's from Bree's own home, Brooklyn. And he has quite the take on male and female relationships. Now, I want to warn you, number one, the things that he's going to be discussing today, or we're going to discuss, he has his opinion, and the Bree Life Radio Network, Bree or Mark said it, do not co-sign his beliefs. However, we do open up the platform for people that we don't even always agree to come and share so that we can open up the discourse, because one thing that we do find that can be kind of problematic for a lot of us as a collective is that we don't always, we're not always open to each other's opinions. So I was like, hey, I wanted to bring this gentleman on. And I have to admit, I'm going to say it, Bree was a little reluctant because she loves her audience and she respects her audience. And she was concerned, maybe, possibly, that this guy might be a little inflammatory. And he can be, no doubt about it. He surely can be. But I think some of the things and positions that he asserts and believes are worth looking at, you know. So I will say a little bit more about him, give you a little description. He has a book out. It's called What the Hell Happened? And in this book, he discussed relationships, and he's really unapologetic about it, and he's unabashed about the fact that this book is about the relationships and concerns that he has run into his life. So he, again, like I said, he makes no bones about it. He's really clear about the fact that these relationships were very formative and had a great impact on how he views, especially, and I will say this, women. He has some very explosive ways of expressing how he feels about women. And I'm going to just not say women because, let's be clear, we're talking about my brown, black women. So that's what we're talking about. And, yes, I am a proud brown brother, and I love my sisters. Now, I don't think that he would probably say that he didn't love his sisters. He, after all, he was born from one of our sisters. So
I'm clearly sure that he has some type of love for the sisters. However, some of the sisters may not feel he does a good job of expressing that love in a real, I would say, probably compassionate way. However, he does own his feelings, so I really like that he's not afraid. He doesn't back away. He clearly owns his feelings. And we're waiting for him right now. So while we wait for him, I'm going to read this something about the author. His name is Andrew Benjamin. He says he's an unsung hero of the World Trade Center whose report on the tragedy from a volunteer's perception was featured in the Amsterdam News, Caribbean Life News, and UNICEF Staff News. He has now written a book informing us of internet dating, residing in Brooklyn, New York, as he calls the dating capital of the world. Andrew has dated numerous women. After being abandoned by his last partner, despite being a good man to that individual, he conversed with more than 1,000 women to find out why the person he dated dismissed him so callously. With her cruel exit and without any true form of explanation. So his book is a compilation of his experiences. And it may answer the age-old question about why an individual deserts their partner after spending countless moments informing the person that they love them. After reading this book, some of the 500 people selected for inclusion in the book have responded with comments that range from wild to, man, that's deep, to oh my God. As you read through the drama, jokes, betrayal, and informative intelligence of dating, you'll see why he feels the way he does. So this is, again, the description about the author and about his book, which is called What the Hell Happened? Now, again, as we wait for him, and I'm not sure exactly what happened, but what I will say is this. The fact that experiences have a lot to do with how we interact with people, it's clear that most of us would say, you know, hey, there's been one or two relationships or incidents that have definitely affected how we view the people around us. So when I had a chance to talk to Mr. Benjamin earlier today, and we kind of were discussing a little bit about that, about the whole fact that, you know, can we, with a broad brush, paint a picture about a sector of our population based upon an experience that we had. And he feels very confident that when he uses phrases like women, that he's not wrong. And he feels that majority of women fit the categories that he puts them in. Now, it's not uncommon if you ever had a chance to go on his Facebook page, you'll see things very common where he says, you know, things like women called, basically women are twerking now. And he said twerking is the new parental skills for the black woman. That's one of the things he says. Again, quite inflammatory, you know. And he also has a couple of other things that he says that I think, again, in his absence, again, and I will surely allow him to discuss what I'm saying about them once he makes it onto the show. But he had a couple things, like a saying he says. He says, be careful who you start dating. A lot of people ain't looking for love. They're looking for help. Again, that's another one of the things he said. He's also made a statement, again, I'm going to tone it down only because, you know, again, out of respect of who will be listening, he said, and co-signed this, should I say. This is on his page. He says, women don't be having no job, no future, no education, and have the nerve to say all these men just want sex. He said, that's all you got. Now, again, I am paraphrasing it. I am taking some of the words out because, again, it's way more inflammatory than I choose
to express myself. And he also had another saying that I saw on another thing, quote on his page. He says, shout out to all the single mamas who live with their mama, who lives with her mama, three generations of bum women swearing men ain't ish. Again, this is coming from the self-proclaimed love doctor. And, you know, I am definitely waiting for him to come on the air, but for whatever reason, he's not here yet. So I will continue to go and on and to say that he has, again, a couple of other things he was talking about. He said the message to black men on Black History Month, please don't procreate with these type of black women. They have no ambition. They are nasty, filthy, and will embrace or embarrass you at any given time. Don't believe me. Just look at the picture. Now, of course, what I've noticed is he will pick out pictures which are just, wow. It's kind of like you're like, why would you pick a picture of a young lady that's half-dressed or, you know, doing certain poses? Why would you pick those things? And so I really want to talk to him and hope to talk to him about these things shortly when he comes onto the show. But I noticed that he is absent. And that's quite interesting to me because after talking to him, he was pretty adamant that he could not wait for the show. So right now, the very verbose Mark said it is saying it over and over again. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to a real quick commercial. And then hopefully by the time I come back from this commercial break, he will be ready to talk about it. So this is the Bree Life Radio Show. And Mark said it is the host today on Blog Talk Radio.
In 1 second
of 1 minute,
it only takes
one word,
one gesture,
one
story, one idea,
one
hug, one kiss. One smile, one hand, one look, one touch, one dream.
Everybody got a dream.
One gift. And one person to do one of these things to make one difference. Oh, yeah. Before I go.
One thought.
One thought.
One thought.
Will you be the one to do at least one of these things? Today's segment has been brought to you by the number.
One.
It's been Mark Said It in under
1 minute.
Just the other day, I was involved in a very passionate and provocative discourse on race. 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 You know?
Yeah, race.
As in skin color differentiation and definition. And I came away with a thought. Injustice is never justified. But you'll never attain it by simply switching the color of the controller.
The color of who's in power.
To believe a person will administer justice to you just because he looks like you is a romantic psychological construct.
That don't always work.
Justice can only come from those who are just. And that may not include the us that looks like you.
I'm just saying.
This has been Mark Said It in under a minute.
Well, we're back, folks. This is, again, the Bree Life Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio with your host tonight, Mark Said It. And we're waiting for the controversial author, Andrew Benjamin, to come on. And I'm hoping to hear from him shortly. I just sent out a all-points bulletin looking for him. Maybe running around somewhere on the streets of Brooklyn. We need to find him. I know they had a lot of snow out there, so it's a good possibility. Maybe he got stuck. His phone might have froze up or something. I don't know. But in any case, I'll go on to say that today the topic of the show was really going to be about the state of black relationships between men and black men and women. And so I'm definitely interested in that as a black man because I've noticed by talking to a lot of people, you know, male and women alike, that we have concerns about why we're, you know, entering into these relationships and coming out, why we have been serial dating, why we have several husbands or wives throughout our lives. So if we're above 45 or so, it's kind of interesting. It's not uncommon for me to meet someone that has had more than one marriage and definitely more than one committed relationship.
and still are in search of it. And I would assume, similar to me, that if you had enough, or you're a veteran of the relationship, I won't say wars, but in a way it's kind of like a war, the relationship wars, you have to be about this time somewhat tired of the outcomes that you may have, because most of us grew up with the idea that we would meet someone, and then upon meeting that someone, we would have unbelievable, loving, exciting courtship, and then out of that courtship in a state of holy matrimony or like, as opposed to one of my good friends, Martin the Barber, he always says, holy matrimony versus holy mattress-money. And it's kind of a funny thing, because I guess a lot of us can say that, you know, we've been in a lot of relationships that have not passed that test. That's why we're still on Plenty of Fish, Black People Meet, OK Cupid, on and on and on, looking, and even on Facebook and other social environments where they might not even be directed at dating, but of course we're in that space, men and women, and so we're interacting, and then, you know, we want a relationship that's going to last, so what we do is we try to seek it out. The thing about it, the older we get, I'm sure that we run into obstacles that are based solely upon the accumulation of our past experiences. So now when we're meeting somebody, we're not just meeting them alone. We're meeting them with all our past stuff. A lot of people use the phrase baggage, you know. And I remember there was a song that R. Kelly came out with. He said, one man can hate one woman, hate all men. And whether that's true, I do believe is that we do have a tendency to see people through the lens of those good or bad relationships. So I'm concerned about our states because I see so many people my age still engaging in trying to find that one person that's going to let them ride into the sunset. You know, we do. Most of us came from a Judeo-Christian background, so this whole concept of till death do us part, the various vows that we take, they're all based upon being together, quote-unquote, forever. So it's got to be a great concern, I'm sure, of many of us as to why we're ending up in the scenarios that we're ending up in. And because of that, we on the Bree Life Radio Network, we have a tendency to have a lot of conversations that are surrounding relationships. Because most of us will say to some extent we're relationship experts. Now, that doesn't always mean that we've had great outcomes, but we're pretty much expert in engaging when it comes to the opposite sex. Not always crazy about our outcomes, but I always say that relationships don't fail. They just end and release you to fly again. And so, you know, that's one of the positions that we kind of take is that, you know, we are willing to continue to take the chance and spin the wheel or roll the dice because we want to have a favorable outcome. We want to have that favorable outcome. So, again, I was really expecting my guy, Mr. Benjamin, to come through. I will have to admit, though, at this point, we're like, I don't know, 19 minutes into the show, so that kind of gives me a question. I don't know, something might have happened. I don't want to believe I got stood up, but if I did, that would be very reminiscent of the experiences that he talked to me about, because he talked to me about at length today about being stood up, about women basically leaving him in the lurch, and my take on it was, I said, Andrew, my view is that, similar to a job, a lot of us don't get the opportunity to find out why we were let go of. It's nice when we can have an exit interview, but for the most part, especially if you're in an at-will state, an employer doesn't have to explain to you anything. He just tells you you're no longer needed. You know, so in many cases in our dating lives these days, especially with the internet and the fact that we may not even share the same community with the person, it's very easy for someone to want to disengage without giving us any prompt or any information. But what I did suggest to him, though, was that even if they don't, 9 times out of 10, if we were paying attention, there was something to let us know that this wasn't too unexpected. So what normally happens is either, A, we really are, like, not engaged to the level of paying attention to what's going on, or we were trying to hope that a duck wasn't a duck. There's a thing that I say a lot of times we're out here trying to, especially for women maybe, they're trying to kiss a frog, hoping that it's going to turn into a prince. But other than fairy tales, usually if you kiss a frog, two things. You're going to probably end up with a frog and probably a wart on your lip. So you probably might not want to do that. So being honest, as we always say, is going to be the best thing for you. So it's a thing that I say in one of my marks said, is make sure you know who's in front of you before they're up under you. Because our inability to accurately assess who we are in front of and honest with ourselves about that may be the biggest indicator as to whether we're going to have any longevity in that particular interaction that we're having. So that's a big thing. And so what I'm going to do now is, because I'm going to take one more commercial break, and if my caller's not in there, I'm going to go to my queue, and it's loading up, and we can really talk about it, because what I'm going to do is, in lieu of Mr. Benjamin, I'm going to actually start talking about some of the things that he talks about. And one of the biggest things that I wanted to get into after the interview was this. If Mr. Benjamin is very inflammatory, is it a good possibility that there are other men that are walking around here with the same positions that he has, but they're not as vocal about it? So we may be standing, women, I'm saying, you all may be standing in front of a lot of Andrew Benjamins out here. But, again, I don't know. I would love to talk about it. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to another commercial. And after this commercial break, what we're going to do is we're going to come back. I'm going to bring some people in from the host queue, from the caller queue, and we're going to talk about it. Again, this is the Bree Life Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. This is Mark Sedit, your host for tonight, and I'll be right back after this commercial message.
You can always do better, but can you really be better? The mistake many people make is that they live a life trying to be better. They pursue degrees, physical fitness,
physical.
Group acceptance. Well, relationships. Trying to be better. The search for validation is draining and never-ending. It is as elusive as a carrot outstretched before a horse.
It's unattainable.
Yet, we continue to run. We never accomplish enough. We never acquire enough.
It's never good enough.
We never try enough. And in our attempts to be better, we unwittingly tell ourselves we aren't enough. After all, who attempts to be better when they know they are enough? What's more than enough? Well, this is enough, and it's been Mark Sedit in under a minute. You can always do better, but can you really be better? The mistake many people make is that they live a life trying to be better. They pursue degrees, physical fitness,
physical.
Group acceptance. Why do you spin out of control? Why do you keep down a road that you know leads to a dead end? Why did you see the end from the beginning but proceed anyway? Your sixth sense, your inner eye, your foresight is a built-in indicator which lets you know what's best for you. So why do you go against what you know, what you sense is correct? Along your life, you will commit errors based on ignorance and being uninformed. So why do you act in error even when you are well informed? I know I shouldn't be here. I know I shouldn't be doing this. Yet you are here and you are doing it. It begs the question, do you really know? Or are you that arrogant that you believe somehow you can alter a no-win situation? Even when you start down this road to nowhere, you are given options to turn around. Yet you put your pedal to the metal. But why? Why? Is there really a point of no return? Or just a person that won't return? Anybody out there know this person? I know this person, as Mark said it, in under a minute.
Or a little bit more.
We are back. I was trying. I have something going on with the switchboard today. I don't know what is the deal, but I was loading up more sound bites and just not playing through. In any case, this is the Be Life Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio, and this is Mark Said It. So now what I'm going to do is, without further ado, I'm going to bring in my sister, Miss Bree. And it's kind of interesting, Bree. I'm trying to figure out what happened to our guy. I mean, because he was like geeked. I mean, talk to me on and on and on. And now he's just, like, vanished. And I'm kind of like, almost like the women did him. What's that about? What do you think? Oh, as you say, what say you?
Well, peace and blessings, everyone. This is Bree. And firstly, I'd like to thank Mark Said It for stepping up and wanting to take on this interview with the elusive Andrew Benjamin, who doesn't seem to be present as we are, what, 32 minutes or 30 minutes into the show. I really don't have a perspective on why Mr. Benjamin hasn't shown up. As we know, he's a very inflammatory and verbose individual on Facebook, but that doesn't seem to be the case live, up close and personal, because he's not present. If one has such strong viewpoints and perspectives on why women are as he describes them to be, I would think if you wrote a book, you would want to continue to share your views with the public at large. So Benjamin doesn't want to come on the Bree Life Radio show. That's quite all right. We know how to continue to flow and make what we do happen. So at this point, I'm sure we have other callers that we want to talk to about what the current state of relationships of today are between black men and women, and how we have challenges and in communication and understanding the roles that we're to play in the game of life with one another. I'd be interested to hear what some of our callers think about what our overall topic of discussion would be. If Mr. Benjamin at some point wants to chime in, he's more than welcome to, because as you know, on the Bree Life Radio show, we offer provocative dialogue to provoke peripheral thought. So without further ado, here's Mark Said It.
Well, thank you very much, Bree. I am here, very much here. Yeah, and like you said, we do have a lot of opinions about these things. And what I'm first going to say is that, so that everybody knows that if you'd like to say anything, you can also call 347-826-7119. And when you do call in, if you would like to be heard, just hit the number one. That'll let us know that you're ready to talk, and then we'll just bring you on in. But until I see the board light up with people who want to talk, I would like to say this. After talking to him, it really made me think about this. The issue is, why do we choose to be so combative when it comes to how we feel about each other? Especially, you know, when you talk to, I've talked to sisters about my brothers, and for instance, let's say, the topic interracial dating. Sometimes that can be a very inflammatory and very provocative and very energetic exchange, because a lot of my sisters feel some very, very, you know, some kind of way, if you will, about when a black man feels like he wants to go outside the race. Now, I kind of was talking to you earlier. I use the phrase PTSD, and most people look at it as PTSD as post-traumatic stress disorder. For me and my guy, Dr. Mumble Jumble, we always talk about PTSD, and we kind of look at it as post-traumatic slavery disorder, because I have a feeling that even when you look back at how things were handled, where it was not unusual for a black man to see his wife be just totally disrespected and in many cases raped in front of his face, but his ability to do very much, a period of that being passed on and on and on, I think that we did see our sisters marginalized. And then once outside of that, a lot of that, I believe, and again, this, I own all of this mumbo jumbo. A lot of this we carried on into our interactions as far as our value thing, our value systems. At some point, not to mention the revolution of, as they call it, back in the 60s, late 60s, early 70s, the sexual revolution, which basically suggested that women, and it was really geared at, let's get something straight, it was geared at white women, that they were burning their bras, because I don't know a lot of sisters that were burning their bras about that. But the bra burning, Gloria Steinem, Helen Reddy, all of these women that were asserting these positions of quote-unquote independence, they were burning their bras. But for the most part, we were just trying to keep our families together, you know, period, trying to find economic stability and maybe even freedom in a system that didn't really embrace us. So when you put those pressures on us, and then, as my sister said, we stood by these brothers all this time, and now they want to, quote-unquote, step out on us. They kind of feel some kind of way about it. What do you think about that, Bree, about this whole issue? And I'm going to talk about interracial dating only because that's one of the many things that people talk about when it comes to having some kind of feeling about what's going on with us. Why would we even go outside of our race? I mean, do you have a certain kind of feeling about that?
Well, I think sometimes we struggle to listen and to effectively hear what one another is saying. I think when we emote our feelings sometimes, which is not gender specific, we tend to not understand where it's coming from, so or why this person is emoting in such a fashion. If a woman is emoting, she's just being a woman. You know, that's just what women do. They're very emotional. When a man emotes, he could tend to be looked upon as being weak. And more specifically, how he emotes, if he does it in a fashion that just is irritating to the woman, yeah, a woman's going to look at him some kind of way. So when each of us are emoting and no one is taking the vantage point to have an understanding as to, well, what is making this person act in this fashion? What, try to, you know, take it back a second and say, well, what have I done to provoke this behavior? See, sometimes we don't take that step back. We immediately go on defense. Like, for instance, I was talking with a friend of mine earlier, and she was saying that she had a discussion with her husband last night, and it was over dinner. And one of the things that he accused her of is that every time they go out, she takes that opportunity to have discussions about things that she's concerned about, or, as she said, he stated she's not happy with. And what it was is that often they don't have an opportunity to go out and be relaxed and be outside of their home. So she figured it would be a optimal place where there's not the pressure of noise, children, and just a regular common environment, to be in a more relaxed environment to maybe broach a subject. And he might be more receptive to what she was saying because the atmosphere sort of provoked the mood. Well, it did not work out the way she was hoping. And his position constantly is one of being on the defense. And as I'm listening to this, I'm thinking of situations when I was in, you know, I was in similar situations with my ex-husband or an ex-boyfriend where if I began to talk, you could see the body language changing, you could see the extremities stiffening up, you could just see how, you know, the idea of talking about something that they may have to take accountability and ownership for made them extremely uncomfortable, which goes back to the initial things that we talked about early on in the history of Bree Life Radio, and that is, you know, communication is one thing, and it's clear that there is a problem between men and women of color and how they communicate. But the foundational pieces don't have the willingness. Either it's lopsided, one is far more willing than the other, or neither, because of a level of frustration that has built up so much that neither party wants to talk about anything. So, and to kind of bring that into your point about interracial relationships, I tend to have a preference of wanting to be involved with an African-American man. That's my preference. But what God has for me is already mine. And I don't know what package it's going to come in and what it's going to look like, what it's going to sound like, what it's going to feel like. I just have to be open to the fact that when I meet him, I'll know him on sight and he'll know me on sight. But absolutely, my preference has pretty much always been African-American men. I think that sisters that have a problem with interracial relationships usually have a problem because they haven't seen enough. I think if African-American men as a whole treated African-American women as a whole with the type of reverence and respect and endearment that we hope for, we dream about, then it would kind of be easier to accept them being that way with a woman that doesn't look like them. But when we know as a whole we're decent women and we look at our men treating women of another race the way that we know that we deserve to be treated, I think that irritates. I think that it's like a wound that was trying to heal and was bandaged and then someone ripped it off and now it's all exposed. I think that's the feeling that women of color, African-American women more specifically, feel when they witness their black men going to women who may be Caucasian or Asian or Latina. Just not, it doesn't feel good.
So here's a question for you. You said, mm-hmm. You made a statement. You said, and I'm paraphrasing, if black men as a whole treated sisters in a way that you say they treat other races, then you all might not feel the same way. So I don't know if I'm hearing this correctly. When you say as a whole, so do you believe as a whole black men are not treating women, black women, as a whole, in such a way that would be desired from black women?
Well, I don't really. I'm not one of those black women that really have a problem with black men dating outside of their race.
Okay.
One thing I know for certain, I was in two very long-term relationships with African-American men, and I wasn't happy. I was not happy. And my wisdom now, in my middle age, I embrace that happiness is far more important than the aesthetic. And I don't care what color my happiness comes in or looks like, that's personally for me, as long as ultimately, at the end of the day, I look at the person, I'll be like, what took him so long, but I'm glad he's here. Again, my preference, to be clear, is African-American men. But again, I don't know what package he's going to come in. But I don't have a particular feeling about men, African-American men going outside of the race. But if that's what they want to do because they feel trying something different might make them happier than they are with interacting, opposed to how they are when they interact with a woman within their own race, then, you know, I'd rather have a world of happier people than a world of unhappy, unsatisfied folks, because we all inhabit the earth's surface together. And even though we may not one-on-one interact with one another, our vibrations that we give off affect each other in some kind of way. So if it makes you happy, I'm the happiest for you. That's my feeling. Bree said it all night long.
Well, so back to a question that I did ask, though, is, so as a whole, though, you don't think that black men, or, I mean, because you did say as a whole, if black women had the same treatment that they saw white women get from black men, that they may not feel that way about it. So my question again is, so what do you think the status quo or the average treatment that a black woman gets from a black man is?
Okay, now that's clearer. If I was to take all the conversations that I've had with friends, colleagues, family members, and a little bit, just a little bit from my own experiences, my own personal experiences, the hardest problem that we have with African-American men is that they are not forthcoming with where they are and who they are and what they want. It's almost like the truth ain't in them. And that's very disturbing. It's disturbing and it's disruptive, because a woman who wants to engage and interact and build a partnership with a man, it is what they're doing to one another is in contradiction. You have a woman that's putting it all out there for a man to see so that he chooses her. But he's not coming with the same type of disclosure. And more often, from what I hear, they're not willing to offer up a lot of disclosure. I had a conversation with a gentleman last week, just a basic conversation. We were trying to get to know one another. And I asked him, you know, so what is it exactly that you are looking for in your future mate? He went on to tell me, well, I'm not going to tell you that, because if I tell you that, you'll try to, you know, make yourself into that, and then, you know, I'm not really getting who you are. So I'm like, what? I said, no. If I ask you this question, I'm trying to get a snapshot of what you like, because for me, I said, that may be true with some women you might have interacted with or whatever, but if it was me who was trying to be interested in you, I'm trying to size up whether or not we have some things in common so that I can further vest my time and interest in you. So our biggest, I think across the board, our biggest problem with African-American men has been and continues to be the lack of disclosure about what they want, who they want, what they want, and when they want it. And then you have the trickle-down thing, which one of them being the most important thing, which is communication.
So, okay, so I heard what you said, and we kind of had a bunch of little pieces with it. So you say men don't want it to disclose.
I've heard based on conversations, an accumulation of conversations that I've had, let's just say, over the last 2 to 3 years with my contemporaries, whether they be colleagues, family members, friends, people who I've come across on Facebook, just to see the things, you know, you want to really gauge where a person is sometimes. Look at the stuff that people put on Facebook. There are a lot of both men and women emoting on Facebook. And they all complaining about the same thing. So if we know that we both have the same concerns, why is no one saying, okay, we have the same complaint. Now, what are we going to do to repair that so that we can have a healthy interaction from this moment forward?
Okay, so this is what I'm going to do. I see a caller calling in from the 414, and I know I would love to see what they have to say. Caller from the 414, this is the Bree Life Radio Show. This is Mark Sennett and Bree. And caller, I would love to hear what you would have to say about this whole conversation about disclosure. Because, I mean, this what I'm hearing, because I started off with the conversation about interracial thing, but it's kind of interesting because what I'm hearing my sister Bree say is that one of the big problems we're running into is the lack of disclosure on the side of men. So I'm not even sure if this is a man or a woman from the 414, but would you like to go ahead and join in? You're on the Bree Live Radio Show now. Call up from the 414-514-514. Can you hear me?
Hey, this is Mark.
Joined you guys last week,
and I kind of made my way home now, and I know I'm going to be able to get the quietness that I need to kind of focus in, so I try to do it in the car while I'm driving. But real briefly, as far as the interracial dating is concerned, you know, it's kind of hard because, like, most of us are the product of some type of interracial, you know, feelings at some point down in our, you know, family history of mine. My great grandmother was white, you know, and my father, you know, her husband was black. So, and I'm dating someone who's a product of an interracial relationship. But my thing is this, because I lived in some different places like Minnesota, and I visited Arizona, and I currently reside in Milwaukee. But Minnesota was very prevalent in choosing the opposite race because of all the stigma that was attached to a particular race. So, you know, like it was people that just counted out black people, you know, like a black woman would count out a black man because he was black. For no other reason, no character, you know, no characteristics or, you know, no character assessment or anything, but just that he was black. And brothers were the same way. Like, I don't want them to give me a white girl, a snow bunny, whatever they, you know. And so I disagree with that. You know,
well, can I let me say something to you real quick, Mark? It's kind of interesting that you just said this, because I don't know, I don't think I said this on the show, but I lived in before we went down to Houston, I lived in Minneapolis for 20 years.
Yeah.
So, and I told people about, because a friend of mine was saying to me, she was like, you haven't noticed down here that brothers are, you know, more brothers are hollering at, you know, white girls? And to be honest, I haven't really noticed it down here in Houston. I'm in Houston, Texas. I don't see it as much, but I can tell you what I know. In Minneapolis, it's pretty much par for the course, because you got to remember, when I was living in Minneapolis, we were somewhere between 7 and 12% of the population. So it was still the whitest major metropolitan area in the United States. So it wasn't uncommon for our choices to run us across a white woman, and I thought it was quite interesting, because I've had, and I just want to qualify, really, I've had dates with white women, but I couldn't bring myself to go beyond a date with a white woman, just because for me it didn't feel right. I felt that my experience, my life experience was quite different than theirs was, and the energy just was a different energy. I just didn't feel the same way I felt about my sister. So here's a question I have for you, because Bree was kind of talking about this when we got into the interracial thing, and she kind of bridged off into this whole thing of men not disclosing, black men. So she was just saying something about the whole issue of black men not being very forthright and forthcoming when it comes to what they want, which makes it, if I'm understanding Bree correctly, difficult to maneuver and have relationships with black men, meaning black women. And then she threw in the piece of communication. So do you think, from your experiences, that you've had a hard time disclosing to a woman when you're trying to get to know her?
No. Quite frankly, I think I was on the opposite end of the spectrum. I think I disclosed too much because, and that's what someone told me, because going in and out of relationships and things like that, I just didn't want to get emotionally attached to someone, and then they find out something about me that they didn't like. So I started coming into relationship putting all my cards on the table. You know, here's my ID, run a background check, do what you need to do. This is my life. This is how I used to live. I used to be this, I used to be that, and this is who I am now. You know, now do you want to proceed? But I disagree with Bree, when she says that I agree with the person that told her about not revealing what he wants in a woman. So it's a difference in disclosing who you are and telegraphing what you want.
Why?
Well,
what is the big secret?
Who I am? Well, because, you know, you get a certain age and have a certain amount of experiences, you don't want to, you know, you're on guard for being tricked. And as unfair as it is, it's probably more common for someone to, because we're kind of self-centered by nature, that we kind of want what we want when we want it. So a lot of times, even in the most subtle ways, we do or say what we need to do to get that what we want right now, and then we'll decide if we want to keep going later. But someone always gets pulled in unfairly. So I believe that, you know, the process of dating, talking, and getting to know someone before you just before you jump in with both feet. But, you know, people have been emotionally scarred in situations, and some are, you know, they looking, some are looking, you know, and everyone wants to get attached and have love. That's the American dream, you know, for most people. But it's how we go about doing that that usually trips us up. I wouldn't, you know, if you tell me what you're looking for in a man, and I've done it before. I became everything that that person told me that they liked and wanted. Mm-hmm. And I was even so cold that I even observed who she associated with or what she was attracted to. Like if I was out and it was a certain type of guy with a certain type of style or flair that she was attracted to or I seen could hold her attention, you know, longer than that, you know, you observe. Then, you know, I kind of leaned toward that to get what I wanted. But, you know, being older now and having the same thing done to me, people tell me what they want. I'm looking for a relationship. Okay, let's do a relationship. Then, you know, when you do all the things that come along with a relationship, it's too much for them because they really didn't want that. You know, they really wanted to just, and some women try to save face and some men try to save face. You know, some just want sex. But they disguise it as I want a relationship because it's more amicable to say I want a relationship than it is to say I want sex. You know, but I think there's a way to disclose to you who I am as a person without disclosing to you what I want from a person. I think that I would prefer to let the dating process determine that if you're being sincere about who you are.
Okay. Mark?
Yeah.
And Mark said it.
Yes. Something happened to the phone. Well, you know, here's the thing. I was thinking about what Mark was saying. So I'm thinking about what he's saying, and I remember I would tell people, online dating 101, don't put a whole lot of information on your profile because I do believe people do mimic what you want. Because here's the thing. It's kind of like me saying, oh, hey, Bree, where you from, Brooklyn? And then what I do is you say you from Brooklyn. Then you start saying something. I start researching Brooklyn. Say, oh, yeah, I can just start saying, oh, yeah, you know, so-and-so. And you might get enamored. Like, oh, yeah, you know, over there, right around the corner on whatever around Brown, this or Brownsville or whatever. I can come up with whatever I want. I can say Marcy Project. I can start saying different things that may resonate with you. And now you're feeling a little closer to me because I identify with you, but I'm identifying with you unbeknownst to you based upon some information that you didn't gave me to go on. Now, the thing about it is, as much as you might want to think noble people are, people sometimes they got ulterior motives for why they want to connect with you. So I would always say, if I was you, wouldn't put a whole lot on my face, on my dating profile, because then people have a tendency to want to go along, and like you said, watch what you do, because their end result, let's say their end result is they want to have sex with you. Or something like that. Well, they know good and well if they size up the kind of woman you are, that you don't probably want them to be a certain kind of guy. So what do? They become that guy that you want them to become in lieu of getting what they want from you. Now, they get what they want from you, and then who knows? They may stay. They may not stay. They may change the nature of the relationship with you. Okay. Well, what I was noticing, and Bree said it, and Mark kind of was talking about it, and it's this. The more and more I hear what Mark is saying, what Bree is saying, it kind of gives me the feeling that one of our problems ain't just in so much communication, but it's our reluctance to want to trust that people are who they say they are and they're on the up and up. Because one thing is for sure, if we are in our 40s, then that means we've probably had enough relationships to know what we feel about certain things. But we also have enough relationships to have some level of
baggage. I don't care who you are. You're carrying something. Now, some people may be carrying a backpack, and some people might have two big old suitcases. But whatever it is what it is. So that is coloring your interaction. So your hesitancy, as Mark said, he may be hesitant to want to give certain information. Bree might want the guy to give up a whole lot because I need more. I need more. I need more because I don't know. I want to know more about you now. He might say, well, no, I just want to fill the space and see if we just even like being in each other's presence and talking to each other. About general stuff, like it snowed in New York. Where it snowed in Milwaukee. Let's talk about that. We don't need to talk about nothing personal about me yet. I just need to know if we can have a conversation about anything. Now, some people want to get out the gate giving up information. They want to share. Let's share. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's different. My thing is, I just think communication, a lot of that has got to do with how comfortable you are. Then communication styles, being clear. Not so much just disclosure, but being clear. I always use the example, and I use women because, again, I don't date men. So I date women. So this is how I feel about it. I'm laying in the bed with you. You laying in the bed with me. It's cold in the room. And you say, it's cold in here. Now, you could have said, Mark, it's cold in here. Would you get a blanket? Mark, it's cold in here. Would you turn the heat? Now, what a woman might tell me is that, well, why did you, well, if I say it's cold, then that gives you a chance to ask me, well, I'm saying, wait a minute. That's not how men think, because I'm telling you. If I say it's cold in here and I need a specific action, then I'm going to tell you what I need to act, what I need. I don't say it's cold in here, baby. Why don't you turn on whatever? I want you to turn this on. I want you to do this. Okay? But a lot of times, there's a lot of vagueness because women romanticize, to me anyway, women, and I'm making a very general statement, but women generally romanticize this whole concept of a man knowing what she wants and reading her, almost reading her mind. It makes her feel closer to him. She feels he knows, my man knows what I want. And I'm like, my knowing's got a lot to do with what you're willing to share with me, with clarity and specificity. That ain't romantic. That ain't romantic. I want you supposed to know what I'm thinking and how I'm feeling. And no, people don't. We don't know what you're thinking and how you're feeling. So we do need you to disclose with some kind of level of clarity and specificity. I kind of need that from you. But I'm not getting that from you. So now I got to guess. So now when you tell me it's cold in the room, I understand, okay, this pretty much means I got to play as far the question. Well, dear, what would you want me to do? And then you get so glad that I asked you what I wanted you to do.
Oh.
Or you might get mad. Well, why don't you try something first? So now I go turn the heat on. You ain't what you wanted. You wanted a blanket. Or you didn't want a blanket. You didn't want a heat on. You wanted me to get closer to you. But don't give no man no bunch of options. I can promise you that. Don't give him no bunch of options. Because when you do that, you didn't open it up. And he pretty much will take something. Or he might not do nothing. He might just lay there. Well, she said it was cold. She didn't say to ask me to do nothing. She just said, baby, it's cold in here. I said, you sure right. It is. Or I might say, it ain't cold to me. So what do we do? I mean, and I think that's the issue. It's not just about, it's about understanding communication style. Because my belief is there's no such thing as not communicating. We're always communicating. There's no not communicating. We're communicating every single day, all of the time. The question is, what are we communicating? And that's where the problem is. Because I'm saying this, you're saying that. I may be saying up, I may be saying down. And I remember John Gray wrote the book, Men Are From Mars, Men Are From Venus. And there's not only that book, but there are other books that really talk about the substantive differences that men and women have when it comes to how, not that they don't communicate, but how they communicate. So all of those things take place. So the issue is, so if I'm really enjoying you and liking you, then I have to make some decisions right then and there on what I am willing to give of myself to get those questions answered. Because I may feel like I don't want to give that much to get those questions answered. And usually, depending on how you feel about a person, has a lot to do with how far you're willing to go to finding certain things out about them. So that's kind of what I feel. But, you know, I don't know. As we would always say, let's say you. And you know what? We got another caller in the queue. I see from the 713-632-77. So we're going to see what they have to say. Right here. And this has been an interesting show without our guy. I mean, I'm really got to tell you all, I want to talk to this dude. Because I would love to have him on the show. This cat is just out of control. And so it kind of threw us off, but you know, we got to be ready for whatever. So the caller from the 713-632, you're on the Bree Life Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. This is Mark Stennett, and Bree is on the air with me tonight. Did you have anything to say about what we're talking about tonight? Caller from 713-632, are you there?
Hello?
Hello, 713-632.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Oh, I didn't even realize all that. I didn't even realize that I had pressed the button.
You have pressed.
I think this is a setup.
Okay, you got set up, so we click you back off. If you like. So check this out. This is what we're talking about. I know you've probably been listening, but this is what we're talking about. We're talking about this whole issue. Not because it's kind of spun off into this whole thing of communication and pretty much trust. Because, well, this is what Mark is saying. So let's start there. Bree says non-disclosure. Ain't doing enough disclosure. Mark says, I don't know how much I want to let you know. Then Bree says, not enough communication. And Mark said it says, we ain't having a problem communicating as what we're communicating. So this is what we got on the board right now. What do you think about this? Caller from the 713. And who are we speaking to?
This is Candace.
Okay, Candace. Beautiful. Welcome to the Bree Life Radio Show. So what do you think about this?
Well, I mean, first of all, women are more open to letting the guy know who she is. We do have the ability of talking more, expressing how we feel. I think sometimes women talk a little bit too much. We give up too much information. I think some things are left to be said or left to be seen. Yeah, I mean, let's face it, men, you have some men who are very talkative and they express who they are, but you have most men, they don't really share a whole lot about who they are. And most times you have to find out, you know, it's eventually revealed, and most times it's not said, but it's mostly seen. So most times when men show who they are, who that person is, most times you just see it. You'll see them being conniving or being untrustworthy and all of that.
Okay, so here's a question. Back to the state of the relationships about black men and black women, for instance. So if what Bree is saying is true, if what Mark is saying is true, if what I am saying is true, and now what you're adding to another dimension, now you're kind of going back to Bree's disclosure thing, which is about, like she said, we ain't talking, we're not disclosing. You said conniving. To me, whether we realize or not, we just drew a picture here that's got us almost like back to this whole traditional thing of the battle of the sexes, because you more aligned with what Bree said, and I am not trying to, but I'm more aligned with what Mark said. And what I'm thinking is, though, that there is a somewhat of a issue. So now we have to come to the fact that it's obvious that we have different styles and different ways of communicating. And I guess the bigger question on the table is, are we willing, meaning men and women, black men and women, willing to do the work to bridge the gap? Because if what I'm hearing on this table, if this is a lot of this is going on, this would have a lot, this would make a lot of sense why most of us have had at least 3 to 4 serious relationships, 1 to 2 marriages, if we're over the age of 40, and we're still dating or still looking. So it's got to be a reason why we're here doing this.
Well, I think Mark had mentioned, I'm not real sure, but Mark had mentioned, it all depends on who the individual is, too, because if you're very interested in that person, you're going to, you know, you're going to reveal who you are. And then you have these shady men who really aren't serious about that individual. They just want to play with them. They just want to, you know, have sex with them or get what they want, whatever, to whatever extent. They're going to, you know, feed into what that to what that female is telling them, and then they're going to play that part. Because women, just in general, we enjoy talking. We like expressing how we feel. And so most times women do tell you exactly what they want. And so then men will play the part to perceive to be that type of person, but in actuality they're not, but they're just doing it to get what they want. So it just all depends. But as far as when you have two individuals who really dig each other, I really believe that they're both going to reveal who they are. They're going to express. They're going to be able to communicate and disclose, you know, they're going to disclose what's important to keep that relationship growing. But if they really don't have no, if they really don't have no interest in you, they're not going to reveal any too much of anything to you.
Okay, so thank you for that. So, Bree, here's a question for you. So I'm thinking about this, and I just heard what Candace said, and I just heard, thought about what Mark said, and I'm thinking about what you said, and I said, okay, so we still have this on the board. What do we do? And here's the thing. Before we go any further, I see a caller in a queue that's from the 678. You recognize that area code?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'm going to bring them in, see if they've been up to – I'm going to bring them up to speed and see what they have to add to the discourse. Here we go. Caller from the 678, 365. You're on the Bree Life Radio Show. This is Mark said it, and, of course –
Hello, can you hear me, sir?
Yes, we can hear you. This is
Bree. This is Keith from Atlanta.
Hello, Keith. How are you?
Doing well, and it is Q.
Oh, Q, I'm sorry. So, Q, tonight we're talking about the state of relationships between black men and women. And we have had a lot of viewpoints about interracial relationships, disclosure, and the lack of communication that takes place between black men and women. Have you been listening long? And we'd be very interested
yes.
in hearing your thoughts.
Yes, I have listened somewhat. I just want to regurgitate some information that may be valuable to the conversation. And this is just a suggestion. Regarding the black-white thing, I always point out to people that according to Black Enterprise Magazine, which everybody knows what that is, they did a beautiful study that showed that 83% of all black males making over 100,000 are married to black women. Now, that's very ironic because when we listen to media or anything that likes to put black males in the negative, we think we all chasing white women, when in actuality that's not the case. Or if you look at census.gov/interracial, 38% to 42% of all black males for the past four years are married to sisters. So, you know, there are times, you know, when the white-black thing comes up, and I always cling to those numbers because those are actual marriage filings and not statistics. So it's like, you know, that's what that is. On the second part, which is more prominent, is that I've come to understand that, and I work in a female-dominated industry, I've come to understand that ladies, for the most part, are not perfect, neither are men. But ladies don't understand men's plight any longer. The 60s, the 50s, men used to fight to help women get that secretarial job or what have you. Now that ladies are pulling each other in and men have this thing where they don't want to help each other, now we have this economic financial imbalance to where a lady who goes to an office job sits down for $16 an hour and tops out at $25, doesn't understand the plight of a guy making $8 an hour at a warehouse job dreaming of 10. You know, so there's always going to be this lack of what I call appreciation, and I think that's basically what we're talking about. We don't appreciate the other gender's plight any longer.
Well, Q, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So, when you say we don't appreciate, so I guess, I have one side that's saying, I mean, and I think this is where what do you suggest we do to get some clarity as to each other's plight, as you will, and how we bridge that gap? Because, see, I'm kind of with you. Well, my friend down here in Houston said to me that most of these black men are going for, so I said, first of all, I don't have that experience, and I'm down here, first of all, and I don't know if you heard earlier, I lived in Minneapolis for 20 years. Now, in Minneapolis, it's very common to see it, but the numbers are really skewed there as far as the population in that area. However,
right.
Down here in Houston, I don't see it a lot. And not only don't I see it a lot, I kind of question the validity of what I was hearing if it was more mythology. And it was just a feeling, because what I do think is this. I think when we are seen with a white woman, there's some kind of feeling, or they feel in some kind of way about seeing that. Now, that's a more honest appraisal than the one that I usually hear, which is all, this great big vast sweep of all black men, or most black men. And that's
right.
Hard for me to buy. Now, you know, somebody might argue out there that you're choosing the statistics that you choose. I'm just saying, I can hear somebody out there somewhere saying that. Oh, sure, that's what you mean. Those are your statistics. That's where you get them numbers from, so to speak. But
Right. Because
they feel that they want to cling to that perception, because I think to some extent when you start clinging to a perception, you have a reason for wanting to believe that it's that way.
True. Well, to answer your question directly, I created a company, Clean and Classy Entertainment, and I've done events to bring people together. So mine is more, is less of an opinion and more of a working thesis. When I bring people together, I find guys who work at CNN who are doctors or directors of hospitals. And the sad thing is, per my experience here in Atlanta, the disrespect that those guys get for not being the quote-unquote most sought after, that's where it becomes disingenuous. Now, these are attractive dudes, but they aren't necessarily 6'4". They don't necessarily work out 24/7 because, you know, most guys don't have a job. They just sit and work out all day. You know, so, you know, there's a lot of things going on, but I don't knock them. You know, my thing is, if white guys are the savior, per your second point, why aren't we getting invitations to these weddings? Where are these weddings happening? Because in the business world, anybody that's in the business world will tell you, I virtually always see a black woman with a white man, but I very rarely see a brother with a white girl. And if you go most of these,
I got to interrupt you real quick. So this is bringing up a whole other issue, because let's talk about, we're talking about marriage. Now you gotta understand that marriage numbers have somewhat have not increased, so to speak. But living with one another and having other type of arrangements outside of the traditional marriage are becoming more and more common. So when a woman, when a black woman says to me, and again, I'm just taking the other position because this is what I hear, when they see a brother with a white girl, they don't know whether they're married or not.
True.
They're saying they see a lot of black men with white women once they get certain levels. And then they always like to point to a lot of the athletes and entertainers, which I always say, well, the athletes and entertainers, to me, are not the barometer or the one to take the temperature with of what we do. You know, however, they're the most visual. Because I laughed. I went to the movie, The Best Man Holiday, and I laughed because I thought about all those brothers that was in the movie, how many of them were white girls, you know, but they were portraying being with, and then the only interracial situation was with the sister. So I thought that was quite interesting. But my point is, you got to admit that marriages are not the most common form of relationship right now. So if that's the case, what about all the unaccounted for white women that are with black men?
Well, let me just say this real quick because I know other people want to talk, and I just want to make this quick point. Love is love. Let's keep that 100. Appreciation is appreciation. There are women who are in touch with their nurturing side, and they want to be that feminine counterpart. You wonder why Evelyn keeps getting proposed to, because she understands how to play her level of the game. The thing is, everybody is looking for someone to come home to, no matter who they are. But when you're not that type of person, whether you're an angry man or whether you're a woman who looks like a football player, you have to put yourself in the place of, am I someone that the other person can enjoy coming home to? And that's it.
Well, Q, so, you just opened up a whole nother thing. So I have a friend in Minnesota. His name is Dr. Mumbo Jumbo, and we talk all the time about this whole issue of sexy versus femininity and how those women who are the ones that emanate that femininity and understand how to carry themselves, they're not having a shortage of men who are qualified guys, so to speak, hollering at them. So they're getting the chance. It's the women who don't have that ability to know how to carry themselves and to behave themselves, so to speak, that know how to attract. Because my friend, it was funny, my friend who was talking about the white women, she's not having a problem getting qualified black men to holler at her. So I laughed. I said, why are you so worried about that? You're not having that problem. You got to, because of the way you carry yourself, your femininity and your energy, guys want you. And I'm not talking about no sexuality. I ain't talking about sexuality. I'm talking about her the way she handles things, her ability to her tone of her voice, her delivery. All of those things play a part. And we talk about this. So I've never heard another brother really break it, talk about it like that, because this is something that I've been feeling for a long time. You know, that those women that are the choice women are not having a problem getting them in.
Well, if anybody's listening, I just want to make the point to enhance your point. And that's this. There used to be a time where men used to be protectors first, teachers of the family first. Now, generations removed, some people have relied on government daddy for so long that young boy being raised does not understand that level of the game. Now, his thing is all about appearance of leadership, which is the Italian word for swag. People don't understand that swag just means appearance of leadership. So you got that going on. Then you got the point you just made about ladies. If you're playing the game, the role, men, myself, I don't even know you, but I would assume you too. We're dumb by nature. We will walk into a wall several times before a lady comes around and say, baby, why are you walking into the wall? Well, you got to get done, sweetheart. Those are the type of women we want. We want the woman who can articulate her position in a caring way to get us to realize, man, what a, I need to listen to my baby. But when you're a woman who is so assertive in her life at work and you can't turn it off when you get home, those are the people that are still single. When you have no femininity and your thighs are rubbing together and you got rash marks on the inside, those are the women who are still single. I'm sorry. Was that too real? I apologize.
Q, dig this, Q. So Q from Atlanta, y'all, on the Bree Life Radio Show. This is beautiful. I'm loving this. So Q, you kind of hitting home a lot. So what I will say, and I'm not trying to disagree because I'm loving what you're saying. I feel that the leadership role or the nurturing role was the most important part. It's not so much the man, because the man does take the lead from the woman still to me, even in the home. And if you think about it, the one that spends the most time at showing children how to grow up and be adults are the women. And if you look at nature, nature would suggest most species, the woman is the one that's the protector of the progeny.
Right.
You know, she's the one. She's the one. So when it, and I was having this conversation earlier. I believe women that are feminine and understand how to communicate, they can teach a boy way more about a woman than a man can. Because a man can tell you what to do with a woman, but a woman can communicate what to do with a woman with an emotion, no frequency, that a man cannot bring. So when a young man is being told by a woman how to treat a woman, he's not only hearing it, but he's feeling it from the woman. Because she's telling him that, I can promise you, if you treat this woman like this, because this is how she is feeling, because I can tell you how she's feeling, because I am a woman that's feeling like this, and
here's
how
the
you
problem,
get a
whole
different picture.
Here's the problem, though, and you got to take some codeine when I give you this truth, because it hurts a little bit. The problem with that, the problem with that is every other culture teaches their boys independent and success. The American urban culture teaches their sons servitude. Have you ever noticed how they'll teach a boy how to treat a woman but not how to get treated by a woman? Have you ever noticed that in that same household they will empower the daughter to greatness but the boy to failure? Now, not in every situation, but the majority of situations, not knowing you, not knowing your city, you'll see it. You'll wonder, why is the daughter excelling and the boy is just, his whole world is how to treat a woman, how to treat a woman. There's nothing wrong with this. It's just that when the boy gets past that period of treating, he doesn't understand how he's supposed to get in return. I proved this point that I had a speaking engagement. I said to the ladies, okay, what does the word nurturing mean? It's in the Bible. It's in the Quran. Most people can't articulate what the word nurturing means. So I went on. I said, ladies, can you describe what about you on paper, top three things that are to the man's benefit, not yourself, to the man's benefit? Most of the ladies kept a blank piece of paper because they don't know what they are giving. A house doesn't help the man. Her degree doesn't help the man. You see what I'm saying? So the unfortunate thing is, per your point, that isn't translating anymore into unified success, meaning that people are not appreciating. They're just not. Let me make this a personal point real quick so you can gravitate. There's a young lady, 5'1". She has 40 double Gs. Now, this is relevant in this. I said to her, sweetheart, I would love to, take you to, just take you out, just chill. I like that little black dress you got. She hates that black dress. That black dress makes her look intelligent, articulate. She wants the slutty dress, the prostitute dress. And her words are, well, you ain't going to like me because that's how I like to dress. I'm like, sweetheart, let me elevate you. Golly, you. But you know what? Let you be what you want to be.
Okay, Q. So check this out. This is what I'm going to do. I see a caller I want to bring in from the 612-237, and I want him to join the discourse because I think he might add something into this because, actually, we've talked about this before, and I'm going to bring him in. This is Dr. Mumbo Jumbo from the Minneapolis Twin Cities area. I'm bringing him in. I don't know, something is going on with my switchboard over here today, and I'm not getting people to click in as fast as I want them to, but I'm loving what you're saying. This is the kind of discourse that I would love to see us have more frequently because I think this is something that we're not talking about. We're not really talking about how what's preventing us because one of the things that I wanted to say was that a lot of that stuff came out of a time when we had what I call a collective, when our neighborhoods, our small towns were places where we all were responsible for our relationships, if you know what I mean. We all had something to say about the relationships. We all held each other accountable. Now most of our areas, like places like Atlanta and Houston, where I'm in Houston, you're in Atlanta, a lot of us, we don't even know the people around us, so there's no accountability. But I just wanted to throw that in, but I want to get my man Mumbo Jumbo. You there, Mumbo Jumbo?
Yeah, peace and love, brothers and sisters. How's everybody doing?
Hey, peace and blessings.
I just wanted to chime in because I was really digging on what Mr. Q was saying. So I just wanted to make sure I got Mr. Q's contact info because I kind of like his mumbo jumbo and the way it was flowing and talking about maybe doing some stuff down in ATL. Sounds like we might be doing some similar things. That was amazing.
No.
I wanted to just, hey man, well, can you? I don't know how you transfer information, but hey, you can send me an email at drmumbojumbo@gmail.com.
Okay, and you can contact me through my company, Clean Classy, and that's just spelled with two Q's instead of C's. Clean Classy, Yahoo, Clean Classy, Facebook, cleanclassy.com.
Clean Classy.
Mm-hmm, with Q's, not C's.
Okay. Clean Classy.
So, Dr. Mumbo Jumbo.
Yes, sir.
You've been listening. So, I kind of want you to throw some of your femininity mumbo jumbo into this space. Because it was kind of, I'm listening to Q, and I'm saying, look at this brother. And this kind of goes to a conversation I've always had, is that if I'm feeling it or thinking it, I'm not in a capsule. I'm not in a vacuum. Somebody else is out there vibing like I'm vibing or with something very similar. So when I heard him talking, I thought about you. Then I looked at Q, and I said, man, they go mumbo jumbo. So what you got to say, man?
Well, I agree with, I have a lot of mumbo jumbo on dating, and the primary focus I do with my mumbo jumbo is I have some coaching I do and some workshops or boot camps I do, and they're entitled How to Date Your Dream Guy While Being the Girl of Your Dreams. And most of the coaching I do in relationships is focused towards the woman, towards the lady, towards the sister, because I believe that most of the greatest impact, I think a woman has much more impact on the quality of the relationship than the guy does. And so I think that most women, if they understood men better and if they had the skills to get the kind of outcomes they want from guys, then I think a lot of their emotion, and they reset their expectations to accept the guy as a male, as a male, the way he was created, as opposed to some of the expectations, unrealistic expectations they have based on the current society and the larger culture. And I think 80% of the relationship problems can kind of go away. And I developed the mumbo jumbo with some of my sister friends, who I call my dream girls, and these are women that were extremely attractive, extremely successful, you know, nice businesses, nice jobs, just, you know, fit, athletic, successful in every area of their life except their relationships. And we had a series of conversations and discussions about what could they do or what were they doing wrong in the relationships that they kept running into the same guys, kept kind of getting the same results. And a lot of it, to get back to your point, Mark, was a lot of them were not focused on their femininity. A lot of them, because of the culture they were growing in and because of how we're both socialized, femininity just isn't valued or honored anymore, like you said, because of generationally, those things just haven't been taught and haven't been handed down, and we become much more consumeristic and economic culture, and we've started more and more trying to mirror not only the values but the behaviors and stuff of the larger culture, and so we've just lost a lot of things as a people that would sort of help us do that. And so, yeah, I have a course, a chapter that's called Femininity, Why Being Sexy Isn't Enough. And a lot of women don't understand is, like, a guy might be attracted to you initially because he's physically attracted to you, but guys don't make commitment because of they're sexually attracted to you. Guys don't make commitments to you for sex. Guys don't make commitments to you for physical reasons. If a guy makes a commitment to you, it's going to be because of emotional reasons. Guys commit to women that give them emotional security, that make them feel emotionally safe. So they might be attracted to you for sex, and they might try to fulfill those needs, but the way guys process information, that is totally separate, you know, from wanting to do that. And it's hard for women to understand that for a guy to connect sex with emotions isn't that easy.
Dr. Mama Joe, I just want to enhance his point in that when I do speaking engagements, I make points to ladies that most men do not marry the sexiest woman in the room. They marry the woman they like coming home to. Now, whether it works out or not is a whole other thing. But they like marrying the one they come home to. And when I say that men are not smart enough, I really mean that. I mean, there are some of our male friends who are just stuck on stupid. They will marry a girl who has no benefit to his situation, and it'll take him 2 divorces to realize. So all a woman really needs to do is pick out a mold of clay that is loyal to her. But I think ladies get mistaken sometimes, and I use the lioness and the lion as an analogy a lot of times. Women think that just because, and respectful to Bree, but women think that just because she can multitask, she's better. No, the lioness does all that because when the problems come, the rhinos, the hyenas, the elephants, the female kicks back with the kids and say, go handle that. What do you think you've been eating first all this time for? That's a smart female. But the female that wants to get out in front of the lion and say, no, I'm going to fight with you. And come on, man. Everybody has a role. And what I try to share with ladies is enjoy your role and make that guy enjoy his role.
So, Q, I want to interrupt you because I got a call.
You didn't like that, Bruce? That wasn't good?
Hey, I got a call.
You know, let me jump in there. Can I jump in there? Mark said it. Can I jump in?
Go ahead, because I have a caller that's been wanting in the queue, been trying to get in, so I want to give him a chance to have some of the things. I know we're getting close to winding up the show, so go ahead real quick.
I want to enhance what Brother Q just said. The only successful relationships I've seen long-term is where a smart, feminine woman chooses an okay guy. I've never seen a successful relationship where a guy chooses a woman, because I agree with Q. Guys don't have the emotional intelligence to choose a good partner.
True.
We just don't. We don't. But
can we have that as a soundbite?
Yeah, for sure.
But that's why the whole dating issue is just that there aren't enough feminine women out there. To me, that's the whole issue. There's a lot of okay guys that would become great guys with the right woman.
Exactly.
Right. True.
Exactly.
That's the issue. That's the problem with the males out here. There's just not enough good women. The kind of women that you guys want don't exist outside of the presence of a great woman.
soundbite.
I agree. I agree. I'm 100%. You know, I believe that's
so
what
if
I'm
you have
on.
A great
you know
woman, if you got a great woman, okay, guys will become great guys in the presence of a great woman.
But now I'm gonna say this, and then I'm gonna bring the 646-645 person in. But I want to say this. I know a lot of I've had women jump on me when I've talked about this, and they say you're trying to make it all the woman's responsibility. What's the man supposed to do? And I think about what my man Q said about us being dumb, and I think about what Byron said about us being the okay guy. And I'm promising you, if you want the outcomes, lady, listen to what these gentlemen are saying. I believe that if you listen to what they say, you can get what you want. Now, 646-645, you're on the Bree Life Radio Show, and I really want to hear what you have to say. Welcome to the show, 646-645.
All right, how you doing? My name is Damien.
How's it going, Damien? Welcome to the Bree Life Radio Show. This is your boy, Mark Sennett, and Bree is on here. What did you have to add to the conversation?
Well, I kind of like disagree with you saying, whoever said it, I don't know you guys' names or whatever, but I kind of disagree with when y'all said a good guy needs a better woman to make him a great guy. If he's a great guy, he's just a great guy. He doesn't need a woman to complete him.
Oh, no. Nobody said complete.
No, but you say, okay, you're saying that it can enhance him to being going from good to great. A man does not need a woman for that. A man can, a real man can stand on his own. He can bring a woman up to his level.
No, we were not talking about standing on. Go ahead, Mr. Mumbo.
We were talking about a great guy from the perspective that a woman would say, that's a great guy, that's a great partner, that's a great match, that's a great kind of guy, that's the kind of guy I want. So we weren't talking about a guy being great in his own personal awareness or stuff like that. I'm talking about the kind of male that a woman would want, that a female would perceive as great, and this is what she wants. So this really, this is more about the female perception, their goal, their idea, what I call their dream guys.
And a caller, let me try to help you understand a little bit better also, if you didn't understand that description, because I agree with Dr. Mumbo. Have you ever, caller, had a pie, but then you had that same pie made by that same cook, but the apples were from a special orchard that they had to ship those apples in, and it was a totally different type of taste? That's what we mean by enhance. It doesn't mean that the first pie was bad, which is your point, caller. I'm not saying that, and I don't think Dr. Mumbo's saying it. What we're saying is that special pie from that one shop that's like no other place in the city happens to get their apples from Florida.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And that's all we're saying. With that particular woman, and it's hard for some guys to understand, because I'm going to tell you, brother, until it happened to me, I didn't understand it either. When you get a lady that is trying to make your situation easier mentally and spiritually, yes, you can stand on your own. But it's such a different planet to be on when you have somebody on that level of support for you.
Preach,
and,
brother.
You know, it's just hard to describe.
Preach, brother.
Wait a minute. I got five because I'm going to pass the plate for the offer. I'm going to pass the plate. Hey, you know what? I got to stop both of y'all.
I'm a witness, brother.
Hey, but I got to say this. Because Bree always talk about this. I need some estrogen in the building. Bree, you got something to say? Please say something. Don't sit back like this.
Say it again?
I said, Bree, say something, Bree. Come on. You got to say something.
Well,
wow.
I think it's very interesting what I'm hearing tonight. I'm actually quite proud to be a part of this conversation, because there are some real men in the house tonight on the Bree Life Radio Show. And they have taken a lot of time and paid a lot of attention, not to just what the immediate problem is in front of them. They use peripheral thought and vision to say, okay, we know what the problem is. Now, here's what we think would be helpful in solving what foundationally is the core to everything we've been talking about, and that is communication. And not communication is just speaking. It's also how what we hear and how we present it and how we are receptive to what we hear and what it makes it and the vibrations and what it makes us feel like. That's what I'm hearing tonight. And for I must say this, you know, in the history of Real Life Radio Show, I don't think I've been more prouder to be a part of a show that the guest of honor actually didn't show up for.
Well, you
check
know,
that out.
That's a beautiful thing, which is a testament to our ability to keep it moving and be open to, you know, what can happen. Because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I'm always fascinated by and when I and at the end of the show, you know, there's some things that I want to say about that. But first, I want to first of all thank the caller from the 646-645 for your contribution, Damien. I appreciate it. Was there anything else you wanted to add to the conversation, my brother?
See, I came in kind of late on a you know, I just came in on the back end. I don't really miss like most of the show, and I apologize for that. But
okay.
Yeah, but the next show I definitely will be on time. But
well, you know
well,
what?
We're
going
to have a part
in,
two to this.
Oh, and yeah. We will. This is an ongoing discussion that we got to have to raise the vibration, because that's the other issue. The other issue is raising the vibration. And I think the more people who are aligning with a certain understanding can assist us in raising that vibration so that other people, because
I have a question. What was the general topic of this conversation tonight? What was the like what were you talking about? Like the relationship as far as what is concerned. As far as like a woman trying to I'm listening.
Okay,
no,
let me break it down.
Let
me go ahead. It was a breakdown that turned into a breakthrough. Let's put it like that. Because what happened was we had a gentleman that was supposed to be coming in. He's a highly controversial author. And we had invited him to come onto the show. He agreed to come onto the show, but he did not show up.
Right.
Which is actually been beneficial to us. Having
right.
not showed up, though, we shift the conversation to concerns about communication and interaction between the sexes as far as what are some of the problems that are being presented between black men and black women, because obviously there's somewhat of a chasm between both of us, but we still seem to have the desire to want to couple with each other. So we started exploring things like the issue of interracial dating, the issue of communicating between the sexes, and the issue of as far as the role that men and women play in the success or the lack thereof success in our coupling. So when you came in, we were kind of talking about the whole concept of the femininity and what the woman's role is in ensuring that we have more successful coupling engagements.
And what was your basis of saying, what do you think a successful relationship is made of? Just communication alone? That's what you think?
Well,
may I?
I have a feeling about that. But since I have two unbelievably qualified people, I'm going to ask Q first. How would you answer that?
To answer the caller directly, success is in the eyes of your child. The eyes of your child and what they get to see on a daily, weekly basis from your interaction with the person that you're with.
You talking about your children, like?
No, I'm talking about success, family success.
Yeah, but you're saying the child, what they see in the house or whatever.
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, because every other culture on the planet, Jewish, Asian, their focus is on the children. Money's going to come. You
mm-hmm.
see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Breakups are going to come. Divorces are going to come. But these, for the most part, these people focus on the children, and ironically, their children become our children's employers because of it.
Right.
So I judge success on your scrapbook with your counterpart, and the success of the children, because everything else is irrelevant. You can't say the money or whatever. I don't know how Dr. Mumbo feels, but that's me.
No, I agree, because money cannot buy love, you know, because, like I said, I have children as well, and, you know, my thing was, as long as I'm taking care of them financially, you know, they're good. But they like, no, Daddy, we want to spend time with you.
Time,
you know?
Right.
And I had to learn the hard way, you know, because friends of mine, because I had my daughters with me, and what happened? They were like, why don't you send them to camp? And I'm like, no, I'm not sending them to camp. I'm going to take them out, and I'm going to spend time with them. You know what I'm saying? But I was like, why am I paying somebody else to do something that I can do? You know, and
right.
'Cause my daughters were complaining, Daddy, we don't spend time with you. You always working. You always doing this and that, whatever. I took my time out. It was hard, but I did what I had to do.
But you know what? The children will remember that point in time more than anything else, and that's what I didn't get into, but I was going to allude to. That's the problem with government daddy. Single women, unfortunately, they want to try to replace these fathers with government daddy. I really wish government daddy would get shot and assassinated, so that people would be forced, so that people would be forced to deal with the people who helped make the child. Because this whole thing of hiding behind government daddy, these child support situations, you got people who DNA prove the child ain't even there, they still forced to pay. It's gotten to the point where it's crippling us. And it just doesn't help. And then lastly, and I know the show's going to be ending soon. Lastly, my thing is for us as black folks, because I grew up around Black Panthers, I think for us as black folks, we've become so intelligent that we're dumb. There was a point in time where right after slavery up until the 1950s, we had more marriages in poverty than we have in this time of the black millionaire and black billionaire. It's ridiculous.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Well,
definitely,
you know,
agree.
What?
But I don't. But you know, suppose you have someone like who doesn't have any children. Like, how does that relationship last and make and work? Because I have a my best friend and his wife. They don't have any kids. They've been married for like 7 years. But his wife still stepped out on him.
Everybody has their absolutes. Just a real quick psychology study. Everybody has an absolute that they deal with. The problem is, and I made this point to a client the other day, everybody has something that they want to label themselves, a cop, a black man, or whatever. When you are under pressure, that's who you really are. You can call yourself whatever you want. You can say you married, you can say you single, but when you're under pressure and temptation, that's who you truly are. I give you $1 million right now, the real you is going to come out.
You're
going to get more humbler, or you're going to get more despicable.
Right.
I want to say this. I want to jump in. First of all, I want to thank Q. Man, Q, you got to get your information, man. Shout that information out one more time, man, just in case it's
all Clean Classy, Q-L-E-A-N. Q L A S S Y, Facebook, Yahoo.com.
Well, and you sing too.
Yeah, actually, I'm a G4.
Okay. Well, hey, I really appreciate Q and Dr. Mumbo Jumbo. You still there? You got any information you want to give out, or are you just gonna ride it out?
You know what? To answer Brother Damien's question, it's a whole thing about culture, man. It's a whole thing about culture, community, habitat, et cetera, et cetera. And the main reason I'm focusing on coupling relationships, because how critical that is into us restoring our culture, which is critical for us restoring our habitat and making sure that our children will be able to survive, you know, as earthlings on the earth. And from my perspective, getting back to the interracial dating, the only reason that there is interracial dating in our culture is because we don't value our culture. We have lost our sense of what we contribute to the earth and to life in general. We don't respect that anymore. We don't value it anymore. So when you look at cultures that don't date outside their race, like a lot of traditional cultures from India or some of the Asian cultures and things like that, they're very in tune with their culture, what they contribute, what their place is on the planet. I have some friends like from the Azteca community and stuff like that. They know what their purpose is on the planet, and that's something they value and they cherish and they pass down. The state that we're in, we don't really have anything to pass down except some of the materialism from the consumeristic culture that we live in, because we sort of distance ourselves, or we've been distanced, or we let go of other things like that. So when you want to talk about how sex fits into all of that, I mean, I would like to jump in on what, you know, Brother Q was saying, but it goes in a lot more like that. And you talk about your couple that did not have biological children as part of the community. The children belong to all of us.
Okay,
really,
I got you.
They really do. But
things changed over the years, you know, because back, you know, when I was coming up, if your mother and father was not around, you got in trouble. Miss Wilson down the block, she's giving you what you deserve for getting in trouble. And then when you got home, she's going to tell your mother and father, and then you're going to get something else. You know, we don't have that nowadays anymore. You cannot, like the laws done changed or whatever, we're not allowed to chastise. Well, we can chastise these younger generation, but they really don't listen. I go in the store every day, and I see these little kids like 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, little young teenagers, and they disrespecting the workers, you know, and I'm like, where did they learn this from? You know, I think it's because the parents are getting younger and the responsibilities.
What I want to say is because we are running out of time here, and you know what? I just want to promise from Q and Mumbo Jumbo and my brother from, what's your name again, brother? I missed your name again.
Damien.
I just want to promise that you all are going to come back in with me, and we're going to do a part two to this. Definitely going to let you all know when. But what I wanted to do was I just want to leave you with some closing thoughts, everybody, and it's this. We need you happy and healthy. The state of your relationship speaks volumes about the state of our community. Unhealthy relationships make unhealthy community. Whether you have a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship or marriage, we, the collective, benefit when it exemplifies passion, care, and attention with respect and love. Whatever place of worship that we attend, social organization that we belong to, or belief we profess, if they don't foster relationships that exemplify PCA with respect and love, then the benefit will be negligible to the collective. We are told that we are part of a society. We may think that this is a given, but what we may need to know is that the healthiness of society is directly reflected with the healthiness of our relationships. Again, Bree, I just want to thank you again for the opportunity to host tonight and have some unbelievable conversations that definitely going to have some sound bites and some commercials that are going to come out of this night. I thank you. I want to
thank you. I want to thank you, Mark. I want to thank all our listeners. And most of all, I want to thank Andrew Benjamin for not showing up, because this has been one of the best shows that we've actually had. And just the fact that we did not center the show on him, we centered the show. The core of the show was about the state of relationships between black men and women, which globally, that's what we really need to be addressing, not rhetoric. So thank you all. You've been listening to Bree Life Radio with Mark Said It, and we look forward to your listening to future Bree Life Radio show messages and Blog Talk Radio shows with Mark Said It, as we're going to have a part two to be able to expand on this dynamic. Peace and blessings.
Shout out to Bray.
What up, Bray?
And we finna go in. Look,
yes, sir.
Look. Came to break down a few topics here. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. It's positive, uplifting, and honest here. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn in the building. All the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging echoes, so if you ain't fragile, through the net connection, we streaming you to Mexico. So welcome to the life of Bree, breaking down in the mouth to the third degree.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life, how we live in life.
From politics to the current events, economics to race, whether you're poor or you're rich.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life, how we live in life.
Coming to you live and streaming to all four points of the globe. It's your girl, Brooklyn born and Crown Heights raised. Living life and breathing life. It's Bree, baby.